I know we're wearing masks, but I'm going to encourage a little bit of crowd participation here, okay? So you're going to have to speak up a little louder because I won't be able to hear you through your masks otherwise, okay? Okay, amen? Hey, we're getting there, aren't we? Okay, 2 times 2 is? 6 times 6 is? 8 times 8 is? I was a little hesitant on that last one there. Tomorrow is? Monday, well done. The wheels on the bus go? They do. Our Father who art in heaven? Amen. Remembering is key to everyday life. I remember to set my alarm in order to wake up when I need to. I remember to take my medication at night and in the morning. I remember to take a shower for the benefit of others. I remember to put on clothes, even more for the benefit of others. I remember where to find cereal and milk and how to make a cup of tea in order to have my breakfast. I remember to clean my teeth. Hopefully my breath is cleaned as well. And that's certainly for the benefit of others. Although the face masks help, don't they? The amount of times I've put mine on and go, oh my, I'm going to have a mint. Now, if you have children like us, there's a whole heap of stuff to remember for what they need to do in order to get ready for school. And that can be a challenge to remember all those things. So often we do these things on autopilot. We do them without thinking. But remembering is essential to everyday life in order to function. Which is why, for those of us who begin to lose our memory, it can be so disorienting and discouraging. Being remembered or not remembered is also hugely significant. How significant it is when someone remembers your name, your birthday, or something you've shared, like a hospital appointment that you're nervous about, and then inquires about it. Or conversely, how painful it is when someone forgets your name, your birthday, or that significant event in the diary that you were anxious about. Alongside these everyday acts of remembrance, we also have special days we remember throughout the calendar year. There's our birthdays, there's anniversaries, there's holidays, there's national occasions like today. And these special days can be filled with happy memories or painful ones, or both, all wrapped up into one. This year, we mark the 20-year anniversary of 9/11. And when we see the images of this, we can all remember where we were when this happened. I remember very clearly that I was working in the County Square shopping mall in Ashford. And I was on my stall, and I remember the commotion, and I remember seeing those vivid images of the two towers on the screen. We remember, don't we, where we were that day. Certain images, smells, tastes, and songs remind us of certain people, places, feelings, experiences. These can sometimes be quite emotive and powerful and can evoke painful or pleasant memories. For example, the smell of bread baking in the oven might remind you of a warm childhood memory of a parent baking in the kitchen. Maybe. Yet a certain song might remind you of a nasty breakup you had with an ex-boyfriend or girlfriend. Without realizing it, these images, these sounds, these tastes and smells can evoke strong emotions, as if we were right back there in the moment. They can be powerful tools for recalling the past. Take this simple red poppy, for instance. During World War I, as we've heard today, the countryside was blasted, bombed and fought over repeatedly. Beautiful landscapes that were once so beautiful were turned to mud, becoming bleak and barren scenes where little or nothing could grow. Yet, there was a notable and striking exception to the bleakness, the bright red Flanders poppy. These resilient flowers flourished in the middle of so much chaos and destruction. And they caught the eye of the Canadian doctor, Lieutenant Colonel John McCrae, who penned the poem In Flanders Field, which we heard today. And the rest, as they say, has become history. Because of this, this little red poppy, so easily ignored and trodden down on, has become an iconic symbol worldwide for remembering and hope. You see, to remember is to give significance to someone or something. And I'll say that again, because I think this ties in with what Andy was saying before the prayers. To remember is to give significance to someone or something. In the scriptures, we see the importance of remembering. The Bible itself is a book of remembrance, recording the story of God and his people. And throughout the story of the Jewish people, we see significant moments where God showed up and spoke to his people, or provided for them, or delivered them. And their usual response was to mark this in some way. And we thought about this last week, didn't we? As the Jews recalled their ancestors' time in the wilderness by building booths made out of palms and branches. They knew the power of using ordinary objects and the senses of touch, sight, sound, taste, smell to provoke remembrance amongst themselves of who their God was, what he had done, and who they were because of him. And some of these events became national festivals. In fact, it was during one of these big festivals, Passover, as the Jewish people remembered how the Lord had rescued them from the oppression they faced in Egypt, that Jesus, during the Passover meal with his disciples, took the bread on the table and broke it, saying, "This is my body, broken for you." And when he poured out the wine, saying, "This is my blood poured out for you." He then went on to say to his disciples, "From now on, whenever you eat this bread and drink this wine, do it in remembrance of me." Jesus was continuing an age-old tradition of taking simple, common, tangible things to help people remember the bigger, more significant things in life. Now, the disciples didn't really get what Jesus was doing at the time. They were thinking of Passover and their forefathers' deliverance from Egypt. But Jesus was talking of a greater deliverance, a deliverance for all people through his death on the cross. In time, the disciples began to understand this. And then, as we do today, they continued to break bread and wine in remembrance of their Lord and Savior. An act that has remained central to the Christian faith ever since. Jesus took these common commodities of bread and wine and transformed them into something sacramental, a thing of mysterious and sacred significance, a religious symbol. Like the simplicity and beauty of a poppy, this meal before us today signifies both death and life, despair and hope. We remember the pain and torture Jesus endured, the sacrifice he made, his body broken for us, his blood spilt for us. But we are also reminded that death was not the end. It didn't have the last word. We remember that something good came out of something so evil. We remember that out of death came resurrection, life, and hope. We remember that we do not follow a God who is distant and remote from the pain and suffering we endure, but we follow a God who entered fully and willingly into our vulnerability and suffering. Jesus knew what it meant to be human. He experienced and embraced both the simple pleasures of life and the joys they bring, but also the hardships and abuse that life can bring also. We remember that in love, he chose to lay down his life for our sake, so that through his death, we may receive life. For by his stripes, we are healed. And the promise given to us from God, through his word, is that whoever puts their trust in Jesus will ultimately not perish, but have eternal life with him. There's hope in the midst of our struggles and strife. There's hope for today and tomorrow and even beyond death because of the sacrifice that Jesus made out of his deep love for each one of us. Like the poppy, the cross represents both death and life, despair and hope, a sacrifice made in love so that we might have freedom and fullness of life now and forevermore.